Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to cut through all that noise and give you the essential insights you need. Today, we're tackling something that can feel, well, pretty complex, the New York State court systems. Specifically, we're going to pull back the curtain on those digital portals, the ones that manage legal documents and case info. Think of this as your guide, really, to navigating the modern justice system, making it feel a bit less intimidating.
Oh, absolutely. So it's a huge shift from, you know, the old days, those towering stacks of paper everywhere. These digital systems they brought in, well, a whole new level of efficiency and accessibility. It's quite remarkable. We'll dig into how they help everyone, really, legal pros, sure, but also folks representing themselves, makes the courts more navigable for all of us.
Exactly. So we're diving deep into four key systems today: eCourts, WebCrims, NYACF, and EDDS. We'll break down what each one does, how they kind of fit together, and the goal is to help you find what you need fast, whether that's checking a court date, filing a document, or just figuring out what's happening in a case. Ready to jump in? Okay, let's start with the big ones for finding information. First up, eCourts. This is really your go-to for civil cases in New York State. It gives you public access to records from, well, all the local civil courts. We're talking non-payment cases, holdovers, Supreme Court stuff too. It's all public record right there. And here's where it gets really useful. You can see if a court date is actually scheduled, find the exact courtroom part, the room number, even the judge's name assigned to the case. Now, searching. There are basically two main ways. You can use an index number if you have it, or you can search by a party's name. For housing court, those index numbers have a specific format. It starts LT, that's for landlord-tenant, then a six-digit number, the last two digits of the year it was filed, and a borough code, like BX for the Bronx.
Yeah, that code system is pretty neat. LT plus, say, 301, setting many one, then 24 for 2024, and BX, symbol. And you mentioned the other codes, right? NY for Manhattan, HA for Harlem, KI for Kings, that's Brooklyn.
Right. QN for Queens, RI for Richmond, which is Staten Island. It helps pinpoint things quickly.
And once you pull up a case, you see the court, obviously, the case name petitioner versus respondent, usually, and the type of case it is. But what's really insightful, I think, is when you click that blue index number. That's where you find the attorney details, contact info, everything, plus the date the case was first filed.
And that show all appearances feature you mentioned?
Oh, yeah, that's key. It lays out the whole history of the case appearances, bottom up. So you see the first date, maybe it was for a motion, then maybe an adjournment, then another motion. You can actually track the progression, see how it moved towards, say, a potential trial date.
Okay, quick heads up, though. What if you search and it says no cases found?
Right, that can be confusing. It doesn't automatically mean no case exists.
Yeah, it usually just means there aren't any upcoming court dates listed right there on eCourts at that moment.
Exactly. So if that happens, that's your cue. You probably need to check NYSCF. NYSCEF logs all the filed documents, regardless of whether there's a date scheduled soon. It gives a fuller picture sometimes.
Okay, so eCourts is civil. What about the criminal side? That brings us to WebCrims.
Correct. WebCrims is the public portal for criminal court records, mostly focused on New York City.
And its main job is?
To give you a structured overview, basically, how a criminal case is progressing, from the initial filing through adjournments, maybe towards a final hearing.
What kind of information can you actually find there?
You get the core details, like is it a misdemeanor, a felony? The official recording gives a summary of the procedural steps, too. But, and this is important, not usually the detailed charges. You won't see the specifics of the accusations.
But you do see court dates.
Definitely. Court appearance dates and times, those are scheduled by the court custodian, super important for everyone involved. And you get case status updates in, well, pretty much real time. Is it ongoing, adjourned, dismissed, resolved, that kind of thing.
And searching WebCrims, what do you typically need?
Usually some basic info helps. A case number, party names, the court location. Some features might need a login, maybe authorization, but a lot is publicly viewable. You can sometimes search by the defendant's name, too, or a summons number if you have one.
Are there limitations to WebCrims we should know about?
Yeah, a couple of key ones. First, it might not cover every single court in the whole state. It's primarily NYC-focused in depth. Second, the info is mostly about upcoming appearances and basic case stuff. You're not going to find confidential documents or, like, super deep case analysis there.
So for the really detailed stuff or confidential info,
you'd need to contact the court directly or, you know, talk to a lawyer involved in the case. WebCrims is more of an overview and scheduling tool.
Got it. Okay, let's shift gears now to the filing side of things, the gateways. NYSCES. Let's start with NYSCEF. That's the New York State Court's electronic filing system. This really changed the game, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely revolutionized it. Moving away from all that paper, NYSCEF allows electronic filing and also electronic service of documents.
So its core function is really about making the whole legal process smoother, more efficient, accessible, transparent.
Exactly. Those are the primary goals. Efficiency first, speeding up filing and processing. Huge time saver. Accessibility, making court records easier to get to 24/7 from anywhere with internet. Transparency, building public trust by having information readily available. Cost effectiveness is another big one. Cutting down on paper, printing, storage costs. And finally, collaboration. It just makes communication between parties easier.
It sounds like a world of difference compared to the old paper way.
Night and day. Paper filing was, well, cumbersome, time-consuming, easy for things to get lost or delayed, prone to errors. NYSCEF means increased efficiency, less physical paperwork cluttering offices, and much better access overall.
How does it actually work? Let's start with getting set up the registration.
Right. So attorneys practicing in courts, where e-filing is mandatory, they have to register. But self-represented litigants, people handling their own cases, they register, and honestly, it's often really beneficial for them. One important thing, there's a live system for real filings and a separate training system. You need different accounts for each. Good place to practice.
And the process itself for attorneys versus others.
For attorneys, it's fairly standard.
Yeah.
You need your attorney registration number, verify your identity, date of birth, some of SSN digits, that kind of thing, email. Then create a password. Case sensitive, needs letters and numbers. For non-attorneys, it varies a bit. If you're self-represented and starting a new case, you often get your username and password right away. But if you're joining an existing case as self-represented, or you're a pro-hack attorney, meaning admitted just for one specific NY case, or a filing agent filing for an attorney.
Ah, okay. It's different then.
Yeah, that usually involves submitting specific forms. Sometimes needing a notary, it can be a bit more involved, requiring verification steps.
Okay, so once you're registered, what about the actual e-filing? Any key rules?
Number one rule, everything must be in PDF format. No Word docs, no JPEGs, only PDFs. Usually there's a $50 filing fee for starting a new claim. You can pay that online, typically, or handle it in person if needed. And this is crucial. Once you e-file, don't send paper copies too, unless a judge specifically tells you to. The e-filed version is the official record.
What about serving the other side?
You still have to do that, of course, just like with paper. But then you need to electronically file your proof of service. That's the affidavit of service. There's also another form, the court notice, regarding availability of electronic filing that usually needs to be served and filed as well. And if you're trying to convert an old paper case to e-filing, there are forms for that too, like the consent to e-filing.
Mm.
And for electronic service through NYSCCAF, you generally need the email addresses for the people you're serving. And again, afterwards, you file an affidavit saying you served them electronically. Accessing filed documents later is done through your login. You search for the case. But remember, there's public access and restricted access. Some things might only be viewable by the parties involved or their lawyers.
Okay, that covers NYSCCF. Now, what about EDDS, Electronic Document Delivery System? This sounds related, but different. You mentioned it came about because of COVID.
That's right. EDDS was rolled out pretty quickly to support the big shift to virtual court operations during the pandemic. It was created to provide a secure way to electronically submit digitized PDF documents to the court, especially when getting there in person was difficult or impossible.
So submitting, not necessarily filing.
Exactly. That is the critical distinction. Submitting via EDDS does not count as serving anyone else. And very importantly, it doesn't mean the document is officially filed the moment you send it.
Okay, so what happens then?
It basically sends an automatic notification to a court clerk, tells them, hey, something's arrived that needs your attention. The clerk then has to review that document to see if it actually qualifies for official filing into the case record.
How does that submission process work? Is it complicated?
No, it's pretty straightforward. You go to the web portal, select Criminal Court NYC, if that's where you're sending it. Then you fill out the required fields. They have a little red asterisk next to them. There's a field, reason for sending document, which is useful for adding notes for the clerk. You pick the specific county criminal court, the case type like. There are codes, AP2, AP3 for motions, DWI DV1 for compliance docs, central clerk's office for maybe a certificate of disposition. Then you attach your PDFs, one main one, and you can add it to four more right there. with an option for even more if needed.
And you get confirmation.
Yep. You get a summary screen first to double-check everything. Then you submit, you'll get an email right away with a 6-digit document identifier. Confirmation it was received by the system. Then later, you get a second email after the clerk has actually reviewed and processed it. That tells you if it was accepted for filing.
Okay, this raises a key question then. What should you not use EDDS for?
Right, very important. You cannot use EDDS for really urgent filings, things like search warrants, or documents related to brand new arrests, arraignments, complaints, warrants. Those still have to go through the traditional arraignment back office procedures, usually in person or via very specific channels. And similarly, EDDS is not for other emergency filings like restraining orders or super urgent family court matters. Those have their own dedicated, often immediate processes.
Okay, we've looked at them individually. Now let's try to connect the dots a bit more. NYSCEF versus EDDS. How do they really play out in practice? What's the relationship?
Think of it like this. NYSCEF is the main highway for electronic filing and service, where it's fully set up for a case type in court. It creates that complete digital case file we talked about. EDDS is more like a specific delivery route. You use it for submitting documents in certain situations, maybe where NYSCEF isn't fully implemented for that task yet, or especially, as we said, in the context of those virtual court operations. It's a secure Dropbox, essentially, that needs clerk review.
And how do the viewing portals, eCourts, and WebCrims fit in with these filing systems?
They're complementary. So you might file something using NYSCEF, then later you check eCourts if it's civil, or WebCrims if criminal, to see if that document has been processed by the clerk and is now visible on the public docket. They work together, but they perform different functions, filing and delivery versus viewing and tracking appearances.
Okay, bringing it back to our listeners, why does untangling all this matter for them?
Well, it directly impacts speed and convenience, right? Knowing which system to use means less guesswork, potentially fewer trips to the courthouse, maybe less time waiting on hold or in line. You get much quicker access to crucial information about your case.
Yeah, it really empowers you. You can stay on top of your case status, maybe find a copy of a document you lost, like an old stipulation agreement if it was e-filed. You can track things remotely, understand how things are progressing without having to physically be there for every little update.
Absolutely. And building on that, maybe share a few really practical things to keep in mind.
Please do.
Okay, first one, and this is huge. If you get physical court papers in the mail or served on you, do not ignore them, ever.
Yeah.
Even if you immediately check online and don't see the case yet. We see this sometimes maybe with smaller landlords who aren't required e-file yet or there's a delay. Just because it's not online at that second does not mean it's not real. Respond to the paper.
That's a critical warning. What else?
Well, we touched on NYSCEF registration for self-represented folks. While it's possible, remember, it can involve forms, possibly a notary. So sometimes for something urgent, like filing an order to show cause to stop an eviction, going to the courthouse in person might still be the most practical, quickest route, even if e-filing is technically an option. Also, understanding the difference between a warrant requisition and a marshal's notice in eviction cases is vital.
Explain that difference again.
The warrant requisition is basically the city marshal asking the court for permission to eventually serve the eviction notice.
Yeah.
It shows up on NYSCEF usually. But the marshal's notice, that's the actual legal notice posted on the door saying that they can evict you. It is the earliest date the eviction can happen, printed right on it. Good news is, marshals are now required to upload those notices to NYSCEF too, which adds transparency.
Any other quirks, maybe with older cases?
Yeah, really old cases, especially ones started before widespread e-filing, might just not be on NYSCEF at all. Sometimes the computers physically at the courthouse might have access to slightly older electronic records. Or for very old stuff, you might have to put in a formal request to retrieve records from physical storage. And one last thing, always double check the details on official documents. Your name, spelling, the address. Mistakes happen, and sometimes a significant error can be a basis for a defense, or at least needs correction.
That's all incredibly valuable practical advice. Okay, as we wrap up, let's maybe hit some best practices and common mistakes to avoid when dealing with these systems.
Good idea. First, plan ahead. Don't wait till the absolute last minute to e-file something. Give yourself buffer time for technical glitches or questions. Second, if you're new to NYSCEF, definitely use that training system first. Practice makes perfect. Avoids mistakes on a live case. Third, double-check documents before uploading. Correct PDF format. All the information accurate. Signed if necessary.
And keep those confirmations right.
Absolutely. Save every confirmation email or notice you get. They are your proof of filing or submission. Digital receipts. Common mistakes. Filing in the wrong court or case type is a big one. Using the wrong PDF format, maybe it's not text searchable when it needs to be. Missing deadlines, obviously. And forgetting to pay filing fees can hold things up.
What about organizing all these digital files?
Yeah, have a system. Use clear, consistent file names. Create separate folders for each case. And back up your files regularly. Don't rely on the court system as your only storage. And basic security hygiene, protect your passwords. Use secure networks, especially if dealing with sensitive case information.
Okay, great summary. So we've really taken a deep dive today. We've unpacked eCourts, WebCrims, NYSCF, and EDDS. I think the key takeaway is understanding their distinct roles, but also how they interconnect. Knowing how to use these tools really does make navigating the New York courts much more efficient.
It really does. But, you know, while these systems offer amazing convenience and access, that critical thinking piece is still vital. Due diligence matters. The digital world offers shortcuts, yeah, but understanding the actual legal processes behind them and knowing when you need to pick up the phone to the clerk's office or get proper legal advice, that remains absolutely crucial.
Well said. So as we finish up today, here's something to think about. How is this ongoing digital shift going to keep changing access to justice? What new challenges or maybe opportunities could come from even more transparency, more automation in our court systems down the road? What stands out to you about how technology is reshaping the legal landscape?